Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, well, let's pray and jump into this word today. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the word already in testimony and song. And yes, we are healed. Yes, we are delivered. Yes, we've already been set free. All that was paid for. So we come today to celebrate and learn from your word. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got a box. Amen. Guess what's in my box? Box of chocolate. No chocolate. I got another box. Got two boxes. Empty box. And another box. That's an empty box. But if I were to want to deliver something, and when Rodney came in my office and was talking about it this morning, talking about where we'd talked about in the past about being delivered, how you get delivered, and I'm like, you're not going to believe what I'm doing today. I got boxes. But if I wanted to deliver something to someone or ship something, I would use these boxes and I would put in it what I wanted to ship or what they requested, and I would box it up and I would send it to them. Amen? Now, this box is known as a box, but I like to call it a vessel today, because a vessel is anything. A vessel is something that has the ability to contain something to get it somewhere else. It can be a box. It could be a truck. It could be a ship. Ships are often called vessels. As a matter of fact, that's the terminology they use in maritime. It's the vessel. What vessel were you on? But a box is a vessel. And it will deliver whatever I put in it. Now, we could take and fill this up with Bibles to send to Guatemala. We could take and fill this up with maybe vitamins and medicine they could pass out in another country. But you know what? I could also fill this up with drugs and ship it. Come on. I used to work at a manufacturing company, and we had a guy over the gear department. He ran gear hubs and made big gears and different things and machining. And he came down from Wisconsin to Alabama to work. And every Tuesday, he got a shipment of parts. And every Tuesday, one of the shipments was a kilo of cocaine delivered to the plant that he got, opened up a box, his machine parts. That's how he was dealing his drugs. So the box will ship whatever you put in it. Come on now. The box don't care. It's just a box. It's here to serve a vessel's purpose, and that is have capacity to put something in and get it to where it needs to be. Do you know that you and I are much like boxes? We are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look like a box this morning. We too are to be used to deliver things that are put in us. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, that could be scary for you. Now, if you take it personalized that we're the box, we're the vessel this morning, and if you're married, you're supposed to be everything your spouse needs in that box. But is your box open or shut? You're supposed to be everything. Guys, listen to me now. Kids, you're supposed to be everything your parents need. Now, y'all said that. No, you said that backwards. No, I said it absolutely biblical. Kids are supposed to be everything the parents need to raise them up in the reflection of the glory of God. But unfortunately, in today's times, most kids tell parents how to live. It's parents, please your kids. Parents, make sure you're... Yeah, we're supposed to provide security, protection, and the path of God for them. Outside of that, they are here to please us. Amen. By behaving, by being obedient, and doing what we tell them to do of a biblical manner. and not give us no lip about it. Parents, where you at out there? A lot of y'all ain't want to amen this because you don't do that. Your kids run the house. Kids tell you where you go. Kids tell you where you go to church. Kids tell you what you're going to eat. Oh, it got quiet in here now. I'm going to put my boxes down here. I'll need them in a minute. If you go to work, you carry something to work in your vessel. And people see what's in your box at work. If you have friends, you carry something to your friendships and organizations you're a part of. And guys, can I tell you, when you come to church, you bring your box with you. And you bring what's in your box to church. And it affects those around you. Wow. Now, the only thing we don't have in common with the box, we have a huge advantage over both of these boxes this morning. Because neither one of these boxes get to determine what we put in it. And the biggest difference, the only difference between us and this box today, is you and I have absolutely 100% control of what we allow to go in our box. We control what possesses our vessel. Amen? So the question today, go ahead and put up our first note. The question today is, what are you allowing to possess your vessel? In other words, what's in your box? And you may look in your box and go, oh man, there's some stuff in there I've been struggling with and I don't like. Well, guess who put it in there? Well, you don't understand. It was they doing this, but you allow it to stay. You're allowing that to have place in a box where all you got to do is, in the name of Jesus, tell it to get out, and it has to leave in the name of Jesus. And then you can put in the grace and the mercy and the power and the healing in your box. But don't make no mistakes. Quit blaming everybody else. You determine what goes into your box. Do we need to bring the mirror back out? Which, by the way, I was told I need to clean my mirror. I didn't notice that. Okay, they said that mirror was filthy, so it will be cleaned this week, okay? But there are two identities in the whole realm of our world that we live in that want to use us. Come on. And that's God and Satan. God wants to use you. Satan wants to use you. God wants your marriage. Satan wants your marriage. God wants you at work to be a blessing. Satan wants you to bring a curse. God wants you to have godly friends that encourage you. Satan wants you to hang out where you'll lose your faith. God wants you to be in church to be a blessing and to serve. Satan wants you to come in to nag, complain, and destroy. So somebody's using you today. Your vessel's being possessed by something. So go ahead and put up the next note. God and Satan both want you to advance their agenda. God wants you and I to carry His glory, His anointings, His word, His healing, His encouragement, His personality, His character, the fruits of the Spirit, the powers of the Holy Ghost. Satan wants you to carry death, hell, and the grave. Satan wants you to carry disappointment, fear, anxiety, anger, and the biggest one, gossip and drama. So your vessel is full of something today. It's being possessed by somebody, and you're carrying somebody's agenda. And you're carrying it in your marriage. You're carrying it in your church. You're carrying it to your workplace. You're carrying it to your friends. You're carrying it wherever you go. You carry your stuff. I love y'all. God or Satan? One is a loving creator that wants to bless you, anoint you, fill you with power in His Spirit. The other one is a pathological liar. Come on. A sadistic pervert who wants to take anything God wants to do for your life and pervert it and make it go against your life. Right. So which one do you want to fill your box? Well, of course we know the answer. But all you got to do to know what's in the box is look inside and see what it's got in there. Yeah. See, it's not what's on the outside of the box that you ordered. It's what's on the inside. And what is in there, again, this box will take whatever I put, good or bad. Bibles or drugs. Bibles or pornography. It'll take whatever I put in it. But with God, we get to decide what goes in our. Wow. God's an awesome God. Amen? Amen. So let's take a quick run through scriptures and look at some differences between the God that wants to possess us and the devil that wants to use us and abuse us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible tells us, number one, look at that, be sober. You know how you, can anyone tell me what the opposite of sober is? Drunk. There's only one way to get drunk, and that's by drinking alcohol. There's only one way to stay sober, that's stay away from it. Quiet again. Be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant means be aware, be awake, be alert. In other words, don't just have your head stuck in the sand trying to tiptoe through life without looking around and seeing what's really going on and why you were created and what needs to be in you to begin with. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, not your friend, your adversary, the devil himself, the Bible says, is walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now let me give you the pre-essence of this right quick. It says Satan walks around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He wants to give you the appearance that he's all powerful, he's almighty, that you're going to do what he says and you have no ability to tell him no. You cannot stand up to him. He's this big roaring lion when he's just a little bitty, squirrely, maybe ant at the best. If you could see in the spiritual world and see how squirmy and wormy the devil really is compared to how awesome your God is, you would say, this is what's been controlling my life? This little, whatever you want to call it, that I can step on like this? That's what's been bringing all this into my life? I don't have to take this in Jesus' name. I mean, it's just really that simple. He's not a big, huge deal unless you make him a big, huge deal. He wants to appear as a big, huge deal. To this, again, he's the master of deception. But he's seeking whom he may devour. Notice it does not say he goes and devours people. He's so minuscule and so powerless that he has to seek a place for you to let him in or he can't come in. If you close yourself up, get full of God and close yourself up to the devil, he has no way to get in. But if you open this side right here, he'll walk in. You don't have to open all of it. Just open a little area. You can pour right into there. Okay? So he's got to look into your life and see if there's an opening. Because he doesn't have any power to open you up. None at all. He's got the power to tempt you. His only power comes through our agreement. Touch your neighbor and say, you know that's right. So he's roaring about, he's putting on this big pretend, and he's looking for a place for you to give him, to allow him to come into your life and fill your vessel and possess your vessel. And then in John chapter 8, verse 44, I love this because Jesus is speaking to a bunch of Jewish religious people. He's talking to the Jewish people, but there's a bunch of Pharisees there. Words of Jesus here. You are of your father, the devil. Everybody stop right there. Dead gum. Here's this sweet, all-loving, compassionate, kind, generous, sweet Jesus. Everybody say sweet Jesus. Put that scripture back up there, please. You are of your father, the devil. I'm waiting on it. They may have went down. Computers have been wacky this morning. Everything's been out of juice this morning. You're of your father, the devil. Everybody say, that's Jesus speaking. This is written in red, by the way. And then he goes on and says, and the desires of your father, talking about the devil. Now watch this. Oh, I wish this was up here where you could see it. There it is. And of the desires of your fathers, watch this, you want to do these things. Now guys, this is Jesus speaking. You're of your father, the devil, and you want to do your father devil's work. Guys, that's heavy words right there. But he's speaking to Jewish people and religious people who are in churches, filling the synagogues, filling the churches is what we call it today. You want to do these things. Now watch this, talking about this devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. Everybody say there's no truth in the devil. So if the devil tells you you're not saved, there's no truth to that. If you are, now if you're not, you got to agree. It's not true because you can be. If the devil tells you you're sick, if the devil tells you you're not worthy, if the devil tells you God don't love you, it's a lie. All those are lies. He cannot tell the truth. It's not in him to do. That's his nature. We'll read about that. He's a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him whatsoever. It goes on to say this. When he, talking about the devil, speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources because he is a lie. There's nothing in him that is truthful. Are you with me? And then look at this. For the devil, for he is a liar and he's the father of it. So every lie you ever tell is of the Father, and you are operating under that Father, not Father God. When you lie to yourself, it's from the devil. You're of your father, the devil.
I didn't come to get preached to like this.
Well, I'm just telling you what Jesus, this is Jesus' words himself, talking to religious people. And it's still not changed today. And it is the truth. Absolutely. Now, no one, if you take this verse here, I don't think anyone except a real hardcore Satanist would want this to be anywhere near what they think their life is about. Now, I'm not trying to fool you here, but if you would love this verse to be everything about your life, raise your hand in here. Anybody want this to be your life? No, we don't. None of us, no sane person within a right mind would want this description about who they are. But yet so many look in their box. Look in their box and see what's really in there, and it'll show you this verse applies to a lot of people. A lot of marriages, a lot of churches, a lot of pulpits. Come on, a lot of pastors. Because of what's in the box. It doesn't matter what the outside looks like. What's in the box? What's possessing this vessel? And Jesus didn't call nothing here. Why? Because he wants the truth to set us free. That's why these hard truths are in the Bible from Jesus Christ. Not to condemn us, but to set us free. Somebody say, be free in Jesus. Man. But then look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Again, declares the wages of sin is what? Death. Death is, the only reason death is around is because sin came in. And Jesus knew about that. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all knew that. That's why they'd already made a way. And it goes on to say, but the gift, everybody say it's a gift. It is a gift. It is packaged up, prepackaged, salvation, ready to go. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through one source and one source only. What is that source, Journey Church? Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the only place you can get it. You're not going to open this up and find Oprah or Dr. Phil. You're not going to find a Baptist, a Methodist, a Pentecostal, a Church of God, a Church of Christ, an Assembly of God, a Lutheran, or a Catholic. You're going to find Jesus. Amen. If you want salvation, the first thing he's going to give you is Jesus Christ. He's already given him for you. And this is sitting at everybody's doorsteps. When you're born, this is delivered along with you. Everybody's got it. Nothing's being withheld from you. Because of where you've been or what you've done, it may have dust on it where you've not picked it up, but when you get ready, you knock the dust off of it, you open it up, and you say yes to the inside. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And it'll radically change your life. Amen. 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 Now, once you get out of the gate, let me tell you something. Go ahead and put the next note up real quickly. God gives everyone something in their vessel. Not a single person in here can say, I don't have nothing from God. Yeah, you do. You just ain't discovered it yet. He is not going to create you in his image and leave you empty. Never happened. I've never seen anybody that didn't have something from God, a gift, an anointing, a calling. But see, we've in the church, we've narrowed a calling down to you got to get a suit and a tie and learn how to huck, buck, and shuck and get on a platform and yell and spit on people. Can I tell you there's a whole lot of other callings that's just as equal to that? Matter of fact, all the callings of God are equal. Amen? So it doesn't matter if you're the pastor of your workplace, the pastor of your home, the pastor of your club, the pastor of whatever. You've got a calling on your life. You've got gifts in your vessel that God put in there. But you have to possess them. You have to bring them out and you have to apply them. And I have a better amen there. Amen. So God gives every, look at your neighbor and say, you got some stuff from God. Whether you realize it or not. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to cut some verses out this morning. But if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 25. This is a story of the talents. And it's representation of God to us as his servants. But it talks about a master took his servants and he gave one 5 talents. He gave one 2 talents. And to the third person, he gave 1 talent. Now, nobody knows exact measurements. I've read to study this. A talent was a large sum of financial money. It could have been in gold or silver, but it is equal to so much gold or so many pounds of silver. It could be equal to so many shekels of coinage back then. But somebody I read in one of my studies said, in today's time, which this was about probably in 1980, it was worth what would be equal to around $1,000 US. 1 talent would be. So today that would be worth about $45. That's where 1,000's at about today. It's about $45 to $50. Okay? No, don't do it there. Leave that alone. And Jesus had given it to him and says, I'm going to go away, but I am going to come back and you're going to have to give an account for what I put, the gift I gave you, the gift I put into your possession or your container, your vessel. Now watch this. We're going to pick up reading with the first one that he gave 5 to. And Matthew, let's go down to verse 20. These are the words, everybody say, written in red. These are the words of Jesus. So he who had received the 5 talents, so had about $5,000 or 5 pounds of gold or whatever, brought the other 5 talents saying, he had added, everybody say he doubled it. He multiplied it, amen. Saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. Talking about touch your neighbor and say, that's pretty good. You give me 5, I'm giving you back 10. That is, everybody say, that's awesome. Now watch what the Lord's response was. Next verse. His Lord said to him, say it with me, well done, good and faithful servant. Haven't you heard that before? This is where we get that from. That when we finish this life, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what we all want to hear, amen? Now I'm going to finish that up, but I want to show you something, so don't go away from this one up there yet. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. That's another scripture for another whole sermon series right there. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now look at that. Notice he didn't say, well done, good and faithful pastor. Well done, good and faithful elders. Well done, good and faithful deacons. Well done, good and faithful children's church teachers. Well done, good and faithful worshipers and praise team. Well, he didn't call no title. He didn't give no accolades or no titles here. Amen. And he didn't judge according to the titles. He judged according to the main title that every single born-again believer has, servant. Which is something in our Western culture we cannot stand. We're not here to be. We're not here to serve anymore. It's all about what can you do for me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Real quickly, verse 22. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside these. Next verse says, and his Lord said to him, again, say it with me, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Somebody say, yay. That's where we all want to be. That's good stuff. Then this third joker walks up. Verse 24. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, oh, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Verse 25 goes on to says, this person says to his Lord, and I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there's what's already yours. Now, I ain't got time to go here. I'm not going to take too much time, but I am going to go here a little bit. Notice it calls it a talent. You know what a talent is? It's a gift. And what did we say a while ago? Everybody's got a gift. You got a gift. Every person sitting around you in this building breathing has got a gift. These kids in children's church right now, they all got gifts waiting to be developed, and hopefully they're being developed some today. But just because one had a larger gift than the other doesn't make anybody least important. Because the one who had 5 and doubled it to the one who had 2 got the same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. But he had more. It doesn't matter. It's what you've done with it. So don't be jealous of somebody else's gifting. Don't be jealous of somebody else's gifting. You do what you're supposed to do with yours, and you'll get the same reward as those who's got greater or and or less gifts than you. But anyway, that didn't cost you nothing extra. So he says, oh, I was afraid and I hid your talent in the ground. But look here, you have what's yours. He don't want what's his. He wants what you are. Whew, he wants that gifting to come out of you. So let's look at the Lord's reaction to his answer here. But his Lord answered and said to him, here's this sweet Jesus again, you wicked and lazy servant. Now notice again, he calls him what? Servant. He calls him wicked, lazy, but he's still a servant. You were meant to serve in this gift and multiply it. Just because you didn't, don't get you out of the role that you were supposed to be in. Amen. And I don't know what you think you're going to get away with in heaven when you stand before God, but you will give an account of how you served on the earth. If you even served at all. So you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Verse 27. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have at least received back my own with some interest. This joker's too lazy to even put it in the bank. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. Oh, it gets better for him. The Lord says, so take the talent, the giftings that I put in his vessel, in him, and give it to the one who had 10. Now he'll have 11 and you'll have nothing. Now God's not being harsh here, he's being just. He's being righteous here. Has nothing to do. This is not a mean God. This is not a hateful Savior or a revengeful. He is being perfectly just that he gave his son to die, and you're going to do nothing with it? So he'll take what you don't want to do nothing with, he'll add it to what somebody else is doing who is doing something. And then it seems like it makes this person over here even more mad at God. It's amazing how the audacity we have toward God sometimes. Even that which he has will be taken away. And it gets even more, next verse, verse 30. And cast this unprofitable servant, into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I pronounce the G. It's in there. It's going to get my respect. Gnat, yes, a gnat and a knife. So what are you saying? I'm saying when you're letting anything but God possess your vessel, and when God possesses your vessels, there's going to be productivity for his kingdom to multiply. And if you don't have God possessing your vessel, then you got the devil possessing your vessel, and you will go to hell. No ifs, ands, or buts. Not because God wants to get you there, not because you don't have a box to open with gifts in it. It's because you chose not to allow him to possess your vessel. You allowed Satan to come in. And you stayed in fear, afraid you're going to lose your identity, afraid you're not going to be as popular, afraid of what your life's going to look like if you don't have all you blamed excuses to blame everything on. And you didn't turn your life over to Christ. Now, based on this story, the five, the two, and the one, who would you say used this last person? Who would you say was possessing that last person's vessel? Do you think, how many raise your hand think it was God possessing his vessel? How many think Satan was possessing his vessel? And he was allowing it. Satan couldn't force him. He just roared at him, being fearful. Don't do what he says do. Don't multiply. You're not good enough. You're not qualified. You're going to lose. And he allowed that thought to come in and manifest. And he listened to what's possessing his vessel, which was the words of Satan over the word of God. Don't shout me down. Now, we all heard God's response to the first two. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Both of them got the same answer. The five and the two got the same answer. What do you think the answer was besides Jesus? Because he just served Satan's purpose. What was possessing his vessel was the devil. And I think the devil would speak to him after that. Come on now. I do. I think. I believe when the devil spoke to him, I don't have this written down nowhere. Well, I'm going to have it written in your notes. But I think if Satan was to respond to this last person, here's how he would have responded. Go ahead and put it up. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were not faithful to the Lord. You will never rule over anything. Now, enter into torment. Welcome to the torment of eternal damnation in hell with me and all my demons. I believe that's what he would have heard. I believe that's what Satan was screaming. Well done, good and faithful servant. You failed. You denied God. Now welcome to hell with the rest of us. Thank you. I'm glad at least one of them's enjoyed it. Again, who and what are you going to allow to possess and use your vessel in these times? Stand to your feet. Well done, good and faithful servant. Over many areas of your life can this be declared. First and foremost is your personal walk. If you have a personal walk with Jesus, and your vessel is supposed to carry his anointing, his love, his compassion, his character, his zeal, his knowledge, his wisdom, his words, his attributes, his character. If you went right now, would you get up there and he'd say, man, well done. Well done. You served in all that well. Now notice he says, well done. Now this is going to bring a lot of relief to a lot of us. He said, well done. He didn't say, oh, wow, you did it perfect. Because none of us has done it perfect. We've all failed at them. That's why he says, well done, not perfect. Because only he is perfect. But you will be made perfect in his image. That's why he says, well done. He knows you didn't do everything right. But he looked at you and he's seen you try every time. And when you failed, you just got more of him, put more of him in your box where the next time you wouldn't fail. So it's going to be your life. If you're married, when your marriage stands before God, well done, man of God, you are a great husband. Faithful to everything I told you to be in the Bible. Enter into the joy. Women, are you going to hear, well done, good and faithful wife. You've done everything in my Bible. You've put in your role to go in there and help that husband become what I wanted him to be. Will you hear those from him? Or will you hear in your life, well done, good and faithful servant. You messed everything up that God ever wanted you to do. You denied him. You turned your back on him. You would never say yes. You just held to yourself. When you get your marriage up there, you may hear a well done, good and faithful servant. You ignored her to death. You wouldn't pay attention to him. You put everything in front of him. Well done. You accomplished destroying this marriage. When you get your kids up there, well done. You raised them up. You were the example of taking them to church, not sending them. They saw you be baptized. They see you worshiping and you raised them up to worship. Or well done, good and faithful servant. You never took them to church. You didn't. They never saw you read a Bible. They've never seen you say a prayer. They've never seen you witness. They've never seen you worship. And you're going to lead your kid down the same path. Congratulations. Congratulations. How about this? God gave you a job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You went and worked and provided for your family when I provided the job for you. You were a witness and a testimony of my goodness at your workplace. Well done. Or will you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You went in there and complained like everybody else is. You wouldn't work and earn your own keep. You laid out when you could have been working. You took advantage of this right here. Nobody knew you was a Christian there. Well done. Oh, it's quiet in here this morning. What about your church? Well done, good and faithful servant. You was there. You didn't just attend. You were involved. You helped. You served. You made a way for others. You put others before you. You served them. You helped promote the kingdom of God. your voice, your social media, everything was all about what God's doing where you're at, serving and making a difference. Or, well done, good and faithful servant. You went in there and you talked and gossiped about this one. You showed your kid how to gossip and talk about church and down the pastor and down the worship. We don't like this. You told them everything that was wrong with church, and now you and your kids are out of church and the church is split because of you. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't serve, all you did. You were a consumer. And as soon as they didn't meet your need the way you needed it met, I got you to leave. Fantastic. Well done, good and faithful servant. We could go on all day. Your servitude, your callings, your giftings, your anointings. What are you going to do with them? They're in your box. God gave you. So the question today is, bow your head, close your eyes. Every single one of us here today are going to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. The question is, who's going to be speaking that to you? And it's either going to be God or it's going to be Satan himself congratulating you on the life you chose to live, the life you chose to possess your vessel and come out of there in your life, your work, your marriage, your family, your church, your organizations you're a part of, your whole life. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, everybody's in the same box today. But we don't all have to end up in the same place. So if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we offer you Jesus Christ today. We don't offer you a box of religion. We don't offer you a box of church membership today. We believe God will plant you as he desires. We will teach you that, as a matter of fact, if you come to class. But today is about who's possessing your vessel. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ with no strings attached right now, you're not joining church today and you're not getting a certain religion today, you're surrendering your life and allowing God to possess your vessel and not the devil. And if you want to do that and make him your Lord and Savior today, just lift your hand right where you're at. Anybody? Anyone? If you're online, email us, let us know, whatever. Jump on there and scream it out in the post. How many of you would say today, my vessel needs some cleaning out? My vessel has got some things in it that need to get out where God, I can get more of God packed in my life, in my marriage. Now, let me speak to marriages one more time. You cannot pack your spouse's box. You cannot have room in their box to put your desires and wants in there. They have to become what God wants them to become out of their own desires. Now, you can put in the love and understanding and encouragement to them, yes, but you can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do. Into your family, into your church, at your work, your whole life, who's possessing that? Are you just a Christian on Sunday? So, Lord, help us clean these boxes today. I don't care if there's one little area in the corner or on the flat along the side or something clinging to the lid that doesn't belong. Lord, remove it in the name of Jesus. And let's let our vessels be pressed down, shaken together, overflowing with the power and the love and the anointing of our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. So lift your hands this morning and say, Lord, fill my vessel. And I'm asking you to lift your hands and make a funnel. Just make a funnel over your life right now and say, God, fill this vessel. Make me yours. Completely and wholly of everything, my life. If you're married, your marriage. If you got kids, your kids. If you got a job, your job. If you're retired, your retirement. If you've, whatever it is in your life, your church. Lord, say this way. I hope you're here today. If you're part of Journey, you'll lift up your funnel and say, Lord, fill this church through me today, God. Fill this church and make it that kingdom on earth as it is in heaven place because I'm here as your full vessel today, God. Fill this church with your presence and your power, your healing and your deliverance and your anointings, God. More than it is now, God. And let it flow through me. Come on, can you say that? Let it flow through me, God, because I'm a willing vessel. All right, you can put your hands down. So, Lord, you know the hands, you know the hearts, you know the thoughts and the intents of every person here right now. And you know the devil's working and some of them going, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. not now, not now. It was a good word, but you don't respond. Don't respond. Don't respond. He's telling you a lie if that's one of you today that's hearing my voice. Just tell him to shut up in the name of Jesus, that you will become everything God wants you to be. And it doesn't matter how, what kind of fit the devil pitches, you're not going to listen to him no more. He don't have no place. He has to flee at the name of Jesus. So, Father, we receive a new level today. And if there's a new devil, our new level will stomp him every time. Listen to me. If you go to a new level, oh, there's a new devil at the new level. Yeah, you got a new anointing to stomp his head every time. Don't be afraid to go up in the things of God. So, Lord, we're just committing to this funnel system to fill us, our vessel up for your glory. In our home, in our life, in our marriage, with our kids, on the job, in our finances, God, in our church, God. And Lord, we pray over this event here in just a few hours, God, that this community will feel a tangible love and anointing over these ballparks and these games. Woo, thank you, Father. And it will show up as an army of God. No t-shirts advertising of religion. Just men and women of God being the hands and feet of Jesus loving on people. So, Lord, we thank you for this time right now. Everybody say, love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him some praise.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.